Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Just before Mark and I and Daryl went up to Roger's campground for the last several days to be in the White Mountains, the woods with some wonderful people and such a beautiful place, there was the news that the congressional baseball game had gotten shot up by some maniac.
I saw that.
Yeah.
A Bernie supporter, apparently.
He was a Bernie supporter. It was Representative Scalise, and I don't have that story pulled up in front of me, but he was wounded relatively seriously. And two, I guess they were congressional or Capitol Police officers were wounded.
You know, I don't.
And then the shooter was killed.
I don't think that violence is the solution to problems, but at the very least, it was a politician who got shot this time. Except, you know, at least it wasn't an innocent person. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I'm kind of.
Go ahead,
you know, I consider everyone a sinner, so I don't think anybody should be getting shot. And I think it's this. I think it's sad whether it's a politician. I mean,
you think it's sad? I don't think it's sad.
I mean, like, what did the politician do?
He's a politician.
So
he passed laws that oppress people.
Yeah, but
people.
If he thought, like, you know,
he's
you gotta look
problem.
At like intent. You know, like what's somebody's intention doing something?
Am I
oppressing my daughter when I make her wear a coat and it's -5 degrees out?
I agree. I would never want to see anyone get shot. I also believe that even in a libertarian society, there would be some form, some rule of law. There would be some way that people would be judged, maybe by their peers or by someone. You know what I mean? And I don't like the idea of somebody taking judgment into their own hands and just saying, you know, I'm going to exact what I think you need on anybody. And even, you know, whether that's a police officer or a politician.
If all of a sudden tomorrow the federal government, House of Representatives and the Senate were to just disappear. Let's say it wasn't just violence. Maybe
that was a Tom Clancy novel.
Maybe
yes.
An alien ray that just made it all disappear. Maybe sent it all to another world entirely.
Okay.
Maybe a different dimension. I mean, you wouldn't be sad. I mean, sure, those you know, family members would be losing their loved ones.
Absolutely.
Obviously, they have kids or whatever. But I mean, would you really shed a tear that they were gone?
For the first time ever, Congress is actually considering passing a law that would allow concealed carry of your firearm in all 50 states.
I mean,
yeah, like if you're allowed under this law to carry, then you could go anywhere in the country, even into schools, anywhere you want, carrying your sidearm, protecting yourself and protecting those around you.
That sounds amazing, Chris.
It does.
That sounds too good to be true.
Well, as it turns out, it certainly is too good to be true because this bill that's being considered by Congress grants that ability to who? Congress. I kid you not. I couldn't believe when I saw this one come across.
Did you watch the rally Trump had in Iowa yesterday?
No.
I did not.
Didn't know about it.
He floated this crazy idea about how we would pay for the wall, and you might get a kick out of this.
Oh, yeah, I want to hear this.
Yeah, I've been wondering.
He wants to put solar panels on the wall and apparently use the energy to cover the costs.
That's brilliant.
It is pretty brilliant.
And that's Elon Musk money, too. So Elon Musk will even get richer because of this.
And now they can get the lefties behind it.
I like it.
But Elon Musk a libertarian? I mean, doesn't that automatically make him principled?
No and no.
You can ask libertarians that question, and they will say, yes, he's an amazing example. He's like the, you know, he's
will
a character
really?
Out of Ayn Rand. This is perfect. Out of Atlas Shrugged. You talk to the left and go, he's so much about green energy. He's such a great guy. You talk to conservatives, then they're like, he's just the quintessential American, you know, businessman, entrepreneur. Everybody loves this guy, I think, except for me.
Really?
Well, maybe you might not.
I mean, I don't know the dude, but it seems to me like he's a welfare queen.
He is. He is the crony capitalist of our generation.
Really?
Did you hear about
amazing.
that other, there's some guy, I forget what state he was in, that was recently arrested for taking money from the Libertarian Party funds. I guess he was like the treasurer or something, and he spent like thousands of dollars on his own personal stuff, and that they audited their own party accounts and ended up calling the police, who ended up arresting him and charging him.
You didn't honestly expect his proposal to make sense, like in a logical, rational way, did you? You're just being a little facetious.
Yeah, the wall doesn't even make sense. But I just saw it as a little, you know, contradiction on his part, because in the past he said, oh, you know, solar is inefficient, you know, coal is where it's at, and all of a sudden now he wants to invest in it.
In solar.
maybe this is just some bipartisanship, like he saw, like, Bernie Sanders and all the lefties that were all like, we need clean energy, and he was like, oh, okay, it's my idea now.
I think it is political pandering.
I do too.
Now, I have a question, though. Okay, because yeah, sure. If you look at the way I thought like 5 years ago, it's so different from what I thought today. So right. Especially doing talk radio, I'm sure we could take little sound bites from you, Ian, of things that you may have thought or believed like years and years ago when you first started the show that are different from what you do now. So is it kind of like a double standard to where if we change our views, it's like, oh, well, we learned and we grow and we grew wiser. You know what I mean? But right. When politicians do it, it's always, oh, it's because they lied. Because, but, you know, Hillary Clinton believed this 1 year and this the next year. Could it possibly be that we're, we're not practicing what we preach and we're having double standards because of the fact that they're politicians?
I'll acknowledge that point, because my politics today are completely different than what they were 5 years ago.
I mean, I voted for Mitt Romney. You know what I mean? So
get off the show. Just kidding.
I voted for Mitt Romney. I supported the Iraq war at first.
I voted for John McCain.
I never, you know, like put much thought into it. I just thought in the moment that was the right thing to do.
It's tricky to be a libertarian because you can easily be confronted with that question that you sort of brought up there of, well, shouldn't you be open to changing your mind? And generally it's a good thing to be open-minded, but I don't really feel like I should be open to changing my mind to believing that it's okay to use aggressive force against my neighbor, right? Like, that's what a libertarian is against, is the use of aggressive force against a peaceful person. And I'm against that. And, the only way I would be able to change my mind is if I became some sort of crazy, violent statist, and I don't see that being a possibility.
Yeah, and that's the thing with libertarianism. To me, at least, it's not a political movement, even though it sort of is. It's
a
philosophy.
Moral philosophy.
It is. It's a moral philosophy, and if you can choose to be how consistent you are with your beliefs in it.
I feel like society has some trust issues, and y'all need some counseling. You know, everyone needs like one big like counseling session, like the whole world. Let's all get in on it and hug it out and get over it.
What do the politicians do? The politicians in, because you're from Massachusetts originally,
yes.
Heather. Were you talking to a lot of politicians down there just as a constituent?
Oh, obviously. I ran for office in 2014. I ran for state senate.
Regular constituent, were you able to talk to politicians?
I mean, I was talking to politicians. I was
How did you reach them? Do they have secretaries in Massachusetts?
I would call their offices. I'd speak with, sometimes it'd be people in their offices. Sometimes it would be with them.
So the politician would actually get on the phone?
Sometimes, yeah.
How often?
And I've talked to attorney generals.
How often would the politicians get on the phone?
I mean, I've spoke with them a handful of times.
Out of how many calls?
Oh, God, I don't know. I mean, you're getting too specific here.
But a percentage.
But then again, you know.
Probably a smaller.
Less than 10%?
What? Well, I was very persistent, you know.
Yeah, okay. So less than 10% of your calls, would you say the politician
got online? I can't. Like, I don't feel comfortable giving a ballpark because I honestly have no idea.
The Scottish people back in the, God, I can't remember the years. 1100 to 1400. It was a long period of time where the entire country functioned with no functioning government at all.
It was just village by village.
Scotland
had,
I want to
no
say Scotland
government.
Or Wales. Yeah, it was Scotland or Wales. I'll get into that. But it was just basically people in a village that worked with people in the next village, and it just sort of worked.
I'm all for like no victim, no crime type thing. You know what I mean?
Right. But what I can't do is say that you cannot have a city of 6 million people or a state with 1.3 million people and say that government is a requirement for things to work smoothly. I can't do that because more often than not, things work worse under government than things work without government. I mean, we have tons of examples of that.
I'm not going to lie, though. Massachusetts has like somewhat better roads.
Of course they do. They tax
more. Honestly, like the roads in my town like suck, man.
Oh,
like,
believe
I go to
me.
Work and I'm like, dude, really? Is this what like?
Exactly. Our roads in
if
my
I had
town
the money,
are horrible,
I'd pave it
and
myself,
I'm happy.
I want to give you guys kudos, everybody, for you know letting people on and saying their views. I personally believe in engaging with people as long as they remain reasonable, and I just wanted to sort of address. a lot of the stuff he was saying.
Sure, go for it. You're talking about, for our listeners just tuning in, you're talking about a guy who we lovingly refer to as Scott the Bigot, who has been calling this show. Actually, he took a 5-year break from calling, and now he's calling back regularly. And I'm actually kind of glad to have him back because it does give us a chance to talk about some crazy ideas and, you know, and rebut his obvious bigotry and racism
towards Jews
on the air. Oh, he's also bigoted against other folks, but mostly Jewish people. That does tend to be his main target. He doesn't tend to like anyone besides white Christian males. Like, he doesn't really like women very much. He doesn't really... He likes his mom, but he doesn't really like women very much. But he doesn't like black people either. If they look different than him, he probably doesn't like them.
People had pogroms on the Jews. In Russia, where he says the Jews killed Nikolai Tsar, the Jews were persecuted under the Russian Empire and under the Tsars for hundreds of years. And they literally were killed. And people blamed them for a lot of things. I mean, people blamed Jews for poisoning the wells during the Black Plague, and they said that the Jews did it.
Right.
So look, today, you can make the same argument about white Christian males. I mean, I'm just going to do this not because every white male is this way, but just to show you the logic. Look, Christopher Columbus murdered the people on Hispaniola. Every island, all these conquistadors, right? The white man, right? They went and they took the indigenous people, and now the indigenous people are no longer there. They took their land. So if he's concerned about Israel, let's say, well, how much more people were exterminated either by disease, which the white man brought, or by the guns or whatever? There's a book, Gun, Germs, and Steel, that talks about how the Europeans went out and they were able to be more successful militarily, and he explains why. Does that mean that we should round up all white people or wait until other people are the majority, let's say, in the country or whatever? Are we supposed to now blame all white male people for, you know, and say the white man is a cancer on this planet because other people were just peacefully fishing until the white man?
Well, if I can hop in here, yeah, that's exactly what's kind of going on right now. For those of you that don't understand how carrying a sidearm, a pistol, a revolver, something like that works. If you want to conceal it, in most states,
you need a permit.
You need a permit. So the permit is good in that state.
And in some states, you need it to open carry as well, I believe.
Correct.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to carry in a different state, either your state has to have what they call reciprocity with that state. So, for example, I have a New Hampshire permit. I can go to Pennsylvania, and my permit is just as good as it is in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. But what gun rights activists like myself have been asking for years has been, let's do nationwide reciprocity. Let's grant this ability to carry a gun so you don't have to worry about crossing borders and getting busted, because sometimes it's really serious. You get caught in New York, you're probably going to do jail time.
Mm-hmm.
So
same with Mass.
So yeah, and here we go. Yeah, Massachusetts. If you have just a round in your car, you can go to jail.
That's a felony, isn't it?
I don't know. I'm not gonna
feel like it might be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Congress comes up with this idea. One lawmaker comes up with the idea and says, "Yeah, let's do that, but let's only have it for congressmen."
This is a tacit admission of, hey, you need to be able to take care of yourself. They're admitting that they, the Congress people, need to be able to take care of themselves, because not even having bodyguards around and police around is sufficient. It's not handling the threat.
Right, and they had officers right there with them.
That's right.
And you don't and even have to wasn't. Just be like a politician or something like that. Like random people. Christina Grimmie, she was a beautiful singer, beautiful girl on The Voice. She got shot at her concert. Outside her concert in Orlando by some crazed guy.
Right.
And I mean, this girl, if you watch her video, she is like the kindest, sweetest, like bubbliest personality. And it, like, and when she sings, I swear it's like angelic, and it like breaks my heart, because I'm like, why would somebody want to just end her life? Like,
but was it an attack targeting her?
Yeah,
or was it just
like
the
guy showed up at her concert to shoot and kill her? Like, geez, just lost his marbles. Like, I don't get it.
That's nuts. But you have other situations where, you know, say it's a drug related, you know, drive by shooting where innocent people get shot.
Right.
Now, I would argue the violence there is caused by our drug policy.
Certainly.
But it's one of those cases of somebody else has a gun. And your only chance of surviving, your only ability to save your own life would mean you have to have one too. And it's just ridiculous. To deny people the ability to protect themselves, protect their lives, is basically saying that you own them and no one owns themselves.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners. If you're like me, then you really enjoy Free Talk Live and the message of liberty. Yet you may not always have the time to listen to an episode of Free Talk Live, so you listen to the Digest instead. If you enjoy the Digest, please donate $5 to $10 per month to patreon.com/crblake86. That's patreon.com/crblake86. You can also donate with Bitcoin or Ether. See the show notes for further details.
For me, when states are supposed to have reciprocity as far as contracts go,
right.
And when you get a concealed carry permit from New Hampshire or Arizona or wherever it is that you might have gotten one, and that permit should across all state lines, there shouldn't be a particular problem,
right.
As far as these things go, as my understanding of the Constitution. Now, there was a time prior to the Civil War when the Constitution really only affected the federal government, and I'm not 100% sure. They didn't have concealed carry permits at that time anyway.
Right. Who cared?
But it's really sort of confusing. Why should it be so difficult for somebody who's gone through whatever the process is in their state?
Some level of background check no matter where you're at.
Right.
Minimally.
Do you
agree with that?
No, I don't think there should be a permitting process for carrying the ability to defend myself against threat to life.
No, I'm saying, like, okay, so obviously, like, we've all seen people that have, like, short wick tempers, right?
Yep.
Like, I saw a video the other day on YouTube, and it was this guy that, like, got out of his car, walked up to the window, and there was, like, this guy and his girlfriend sitting inside another car. It was a clear case of road rage, right? So the couple's sitting in the car with the windows rolled up, not saying anything. This guy is standing outside the window, like screaming, foaming at the mouth, like, get out. I'm going to F you up. I'm going to do this.
I saw that video.
And it was crazy. And I'm looking at the way this guy is behaving, thinking, like, you know, what if he could, like, just walk into a store and have a gun?
I read an article some time ago. I'm trying to pull it up now. But the statement is more than 80% of guns used in mass shootings were obtained legally. So here we don't just have like an angry guy in a case of road rage. You have somebody who's going into a movie theater in Aurora with multiple weapons and hundreds of rounds of ammunition and shooting 70 plus people. He was able to purchase a gun legally. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to advocate and say, well, we just need to do more checks until we can figure out one that would catch that kind of guy. No, you're not going to do that. The only thing you're going to do is slow up the process for people, say, women who have been threatened.
Of, like, categorized behaviors or warning signs.
No, I don't think we as humans are able to analyze accurately the potential actions, the pre-crime of every possible person who ever intends to purchase a weapon.
A gun-free zone only prevents people who are willing to follow the rules from carrying a weapon in there.
Right.
That's why, I mean, you know, we currently, the funny thing is we have colleges that are not gun-free zones and colleges that are gun-free zones.
Right.
And it appears as though the shootings occur on the campuses that are gun-free zones.
Yes,
and
that would be the history.
So, I mean, there's some science to look at. Like, you can look at, you know, one place, other place, and just sort of take a look at what it looks like. I'm not saying that in a world where people are able to carry weapons that you're not going to have shootings.
Yeah.
I wouldn't claim that at all.
Always will.
But it appears as though mass shootings are stopped by people with that are concealed carrying weapons. If there's somebody with a concealed carry weapon there on prem, it's more likely that the shooter will be stopped.
It has stopped people in a lot of examples. And a good friend of mine in Pennsylvania just the other day posted on Facebook, four guys in my driveway getting ready to steal my car. That didn't happen.
Right.
So, and everybody was trying to guess which one of his guns he went out there with to stop. It turned out it was a 9mm. But you're right. The fact that many of these mass shootings do take place in areas where there is no opposition to the shooter, be it shopping malls, schools, military bases, the list kind of goes on. And it's a shame. It's denying somebody the right to defend themselves. And I think that's saying that I deny you the right to own your own body.
The ladies, it seems, aren't as interested in carrying the guns. And I think it's the same reason because I'm scared of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just long and the short of it is I'm been socialized to be sort of a little scared of guns generally.
Not mm-hmm. me, man. I love shooting guns.
I'm glad. Yeah. You know, I hope you carry one on a regular basis. And I don't want to hear one way or the other whether that's the case. But we were talking. Are we sort of done with the article or did you have something you want to
go? No, I think we really covered it. And that was kind of about it for that one.
You are an instructor, Chris, as far as firearms go.
I've done some instructing. I would not call myself an instructor. There are guys out there that actually make their living at it, and they're a lot better at it than I am.
Understood.
Yeah.
But you had basically said in the last segment that you didn't think that the sort of brandishing a firearm to prevent a crime was a particularly good idea.
It's impossible to say without that. But I think I always try to err on the side of not brandishing. You know, if the longer I can keep the element of surprise, the better off I think I am. But again, every situation is going to be different.
One would presume that one wishes to avoid, shooting somebody, right?
Yes.
And if somebody's gone to the point that they're willing to commit a crime, I'm a little concerned about their mental well-being.
Sure.
So I get that you wouldn't want to show them, but I also sort of see why somebody would want to show them.
People will say that, you know, the more that we arm our societies, the more crime we'll have. If you make all these things easier, you know, it's going to be shootouts in the streets. It's going to be the OK Corral. And New Hampshire and really Vermont are really good examples of why that's just specious. It's fallacy. Vermont. I've done a little bit of research in trying to figure out if they've ever had a gun law. I don't think they really ever have.
I don't think they have, no.
You can open carry, you can conceal carry in Vermont. They just really don't care, and it's one of the safest places in the country. New Hampshire has one of the lowest violent crime rates in the country, too. And, you know, we are could always open carry. That was always a thing. You can now conceal carry with a permit or without a permit.
Your choice.
You don't need one. We have more fully automatic machine guns per capita in this state than in any other state in the country. So the actual
interesting fact, I don't know what it means.
It is, but it's these things that people throw out. What? So everybody can have a machine gun? Well, yeah, actually, if you escalate it, you end up like, New Hampshire and you have less crime. That's just another one of those facts.
And my mom used to make a joke. She's like, yeah, up in New Hampshire, they have less murders, but they have more missing people.
It's funny. People don't know what's going on city elections.
Sure.
City elections tend to affect you more than a national election does.
Agreed.
Everybody knows who the president is. About half of us don't even know who the mayor is. And I couldn't tell you who the mayor is in Keene. It's the next town over from where I live. It doesn't affect my life dramatically, but it does affect it. Not that I could do anything about it.
Right.
But Americans just don't care about local elections. Oftentimes you'll see turnouts between 2 and 10% for local elections. 10% is a huge turnout.
That's interesting. In my town, turnouts for local elections, they're bigger during the big election cycle.
Yeah.
But they're pretty good.
New Hampshire is a...
Probably an outlier.
It is an outlier as far as that goes.
I'd agree with that.
Politics is the state sport.
To me, this mayor election, to me, it's a big deal. To me, it's important to me because this mayor can bring our speeding bans and red light cameras back, depending on who we get. It's like a lottery. It's a gamble. You know what I mean? You never know who we're going to wind up with.
Do you have a favorite candidate?
The thing about it is that if we get a strict public safety mayor, I think that we're going to get that. I think the people, what little people show up or what little people pay attention to, they're going to want public safety.
Tell everybody about Freedom Fiends just a little bit.
Freedom Fiends is a show that started as a podcast in 2011, got on radio 2 years later, run not nearly as many stations as you guys are, but 29, 30, depends on who's kicked us off and who's added us that week. But it's the little radio show that could.
And it goes on in the evening. What's the website?
It's freedomfiends.com. Fiends is Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra. And it's on at 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. East Coast time.
It's brutal.
Weeknights. Yeah. Did you say brutal?
Yeah, I stayed up for it once or twice. And, oh, man.
You're on it.
Right. I was, you know, 3 a.m. Right. doing a show till 3 a.m. It's just brutal. If you're ready for it, if you can take that nap beforehand.
Right.
It'd be all right.
Well, I'm in, you know, it's 11 o'clock to 1 a.m. where I am in Wyoming. And we have some hosts on the East Coast. But, you know, now we got Daryl Becker, who's in Hawaii. I think it's 7 to 9 p.m. his time.
Sweet. Yeah, I know what it's like to do a show at that time. Everybody should read the User's Manual for the Human Experience.
Yeah, it's a book I wrote in 2008, published in 2009 as a paperback and an audiobook, and finally got around to doing an update and putting it out on Kindle. So it's out on Kindle now, User's Manual for the Human Experience. You can get it on Amazon. It's $3.99 on Kindle, or I think it's 99 cents if you have Amazon Prime for the first month or something like that. And it's a book that I put out and kind of threw out in the world like – you know, message in a bottle, and it's still kind of reverberating back to me. Like, people tell me this book changed my life.
That
book changed your life. I was just actually updating the Amazon page. Your blurb you gave me for it today is now on Amazon. What a time to be alive, man. I started writing books in 2000 when they were paperback, and if I wanted to like add a blurb, I had to like get $4,000 for a new printing of 1,000 copies.
Can you tell folks how they can go about getting the audio version and the new Kindle version and all those things of the User's Manual for the Human Experience? And thank you for calling in with us, by the way.
Yeah, if you want to remember a URL, michaelwdean.com, or just search Michael W. Dean, my site will come up, and it's one of the links at the top for User's Manual for the Human Experience. Or you could just go to Amazon and search User's Manual for the Human Experience, and a couple different pages will come up. For some reason, there's like another page publisher I was going through went out and put up, and that one's like $160. That's not the one you want. You want the one that's like normal Kindle price and paperback price. And there's also the Audible. If you have audible.com, they have the free audiobook there, and if not, it's a few bucks.
I'm happy to say you just sold one more copy.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.